We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey everyone, I wanted to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of all that, we'll get you your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge just for the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports experience. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box for this episode to find out more. That is bwhustle.com/join.
Ooh, is that the sweet sounds of a... of a professional microphone I hear in the background?
Oh, how do I sound? How do I sound? Mic check.
You sound good, man. Sound good.
Look at that. Our first. I could guess you could say good audio session of Locker Room, and no issues so far. Sam, usually it's my fault. Nothing on my end, so I'm good, guys. For the listeners, I'm good.
Yeah. All right. Let's get this show on the road. Let's get it going. My first thought on the game was that felt like a throwback to 20 years ago. I felt like I was watching 2001 76ers with Iverson running off 40 screens to try to get a shot off. And just horrendously ugly basketball, fouling on both sides, no one able to shoot the ball on either side except for like one guy on a team. I think Tibbs loves that. I actually kind of think Steve Kerr loves that too.
It's not surprising. I was just going to say, this was Tibbs' perfect game right here. Just make it disgusting. This is why him and Jimmy Butler are best friends. Like, I could just see Jimmy Butler enjoying this game. Draymond, you could see kind of enjoying this game too. Steph Curry, I think for someone that people think like, oh, he's kind of like, he's got to play fast. He's got to play free and easy. Like, I think he enjoys these games too. He had an easy 37 tonight. I mean, a lot of those were on free throws at the end of the game, but he was by far the best player on the court. It seemed like he loved kind of the pace.
I think he loves the challenge. I think he loves people saying, oh, you know, he couldn't play in the 90s. And having games like this to be like, yes, I could. You know, I that motivates Steph more than anything. But I do agree with you. I think Draymond gets off, to be honest, on this type of stuff. Like, because this type of basketball makes Draymond more valuable. You know, when it's a little more physical. It's borderline footballish, and you need to be physical, and kind of IQ prevails. Like this kind of plays better for Draymond than, let's just say, an up and down spread game where we can notice he can't shoot the ball.
Unfortunately, Sam, we did notice that he can't shoot the ball, because there were several times in the first half, actually throughout the game, there was one egregious time, since we're on the topic of Draymond, where he had the ball about 8 feet from the basket, takes a dribble, gets to about four, maybe 3 feet from the basket, wide open. So he's kind of in between. He has Wiseman sitting there kind of like, maybe he could pass it there, maybe not. And then he throws it to the other corner, to Damian Lee, never gets there. Because there's literally two people between him and Damian Lee. The pass was never even close to arriving in Damian Lee. And you're just watching him and you're just like... And then at the end of the game, shoots a wide open floater, doesn't even come close. And you're just sitting there, you're like, ah, what do you want him to do, Sam? Because he can't score if he shoots it. And then if he passes it, it's a turnover because it's so freaking obvious. I don't know what you do.
I don't either. By the way, to everyone requesting to speak, we will allow you to speak. Just give it a few times. Hit the request thing. We're going to go in chronological order. So we're not going to lose track of whoever asked first. So I just want to get that out there. And whoever threw in the chat, Big Jim looked good tonight, I'm blocking you. We're not calling him Big Jim.
I thought Big Jim, you like Big Jim. Stop it.
Big Jim is peak Fitz, where it's so cringeworthy you lean into it. Where now we got to call him Big Jim Wiseman, you know?
Unreal. Like, are we surprised? I shouldn't be surprised. That's the thing. Like, I shouldn't be surprised. And yet, when he dropped the Big Jim there right before halftime, I literally texted you and I was like, we got, like, forget Light Years podcast. Like, why aren't we naming it the Big Jim Pod?
The Big Jim Cast? Yeah, exactly.
The Big Jim Cast. Oh, disgusting.
All right, let's get to other topics on the game tonight. So, overall, Steph, star of the show. I don't even know where we want to go with this one, to be honest, right now. Like, they get their big men back tonight. I guess we should start there. What did you think of Looney and obviously Big Jim? James Wiseman.
I enjoyed Big Time Jimmy. Big Time Jimmy. Shouts to Tim Lincecum. I enjoyed his play tonight, Wiseman. He
Let Jimmy smoke shirts in some years.
Wiseman, do you think Wiseman has ever? You know what? I don't know. The kid's 19. I don't know what he's done. It doesn't seem like he's done much. good game by Big Time Timmy. Big Time Timmy. Big Time Jimmy. Tonight, he looked like he knew where to go without the ball more so than other times. Look, end of the day, should not ever be getting the ball in the post to either one, make a post move, or two, make a pass, right? But it's Steve Kerr. We got to live with it. But I think, Sam, he was a better cutter tonight. If we're going to say that Kelly Oubre was a great cutter, become a very good cutter in the past 3 weeks, James Wiseman tonight tells me, like, man, give him a few months. He's going to be averaging at least 10 points a game just off five dunks alone. So I thought that was impressive.
Yeah, to me, my main takes are, A, he looked excellent cutting to the rim. I think he only bobbled one pass on a lob.
Yeah.
Maybe, in general, better. Like, obviously, the hands have been a thing that we've noticed during the early part of the season. You and I have been kind of chalking it up to the game being too fast for the young guy. I thought he looked better cutting and just catching the ball in traffic in that way. I also thought he looked excellent defensively, excellent in context of a rookie.
Really? You think so? Interesting.
I thought he looked a lot better on defense than he looked during the before he sprained his wrist and missed 2 weeks. Was it perfect? Of course not. But you were starting to see a little recognition, understanding verticality, not fouling as much. You were seeing the signs of the player that kind of we thought we were getting when the Warriors drafted him, which was a player who has defensive player of the year upside. Do I think it's coming this year? Of course not. And next year, probably not either. But like, I saw more improvement defensively with the hands and with the hands on offense tonight. Honestly, with the hands on defense too. Those were positives for me. Now, whenever we're ready to get to it, I'm happy to get into the negatives too.
I mean, the rebounding isn't there. Exactly. For a guy that's, 8 feet 7 or something close to that.
12'2" wingspan.
It should be a little bit more like the Warriors have Looney. Like they're Steve is happy and in the bathroom jerking off because he's got Looney and Wiseman back. But if you get those guys back, like the team is great on defense, Sam, but they're horrendous rebounding. And so you can stop someone on the first pass, but if you can't rebound the ball, then what's the point, right? And the same thing happened tonight. So I, you know, who knows whether that's kind of like, is that more, you know, physical profile? Does he need to get stronger? Is it more kind of like Kevon Looney? He needs to understand who to box out, where to be during a rebound, that type of stuff. Or is it mental, right? Draymond gets rebounds because he wants the rebounds more most of the time. I mean, he's a genius, but he wants it. And so we'll see. I don't know if it's a negative. It's just something that you keep an eye on.
I was going to say, first negative take for him was going to be that the Knicks bullied him a little bit on the glass. And obviously, a Tibbs team is going to be like the worst type of team for a guy who's maybe shy on the glass and kind of doesn't really know how to rebound. Like Tibbs is going to get his teams to be physical, clean the glass and do all the fundamentals in terms of defense. So, you know, it's a tough a test that you're going to get outside of putting them against like Embiid or one of like the elite centers. Right. So there was some of that where it's a mix of shying from contact for me and also just being a rookie and not knowing where to be on that end. So those are things I need to, you know, long-term, we all want to see that cleaned up in general for him to be better there. The second thing for me is I'm not going to complain about his lack of shooting from the outside or anything, but like in general, we do need to see him start shooting the ball a little more from the outside, right? Like part of his appeal is that he has the touch. He's shooting 40% on, you know, less than a three a game or whatever he's taking at this point. But tonight it was kind of like he's back in the flow. He's catching lobs. He's finishing inside. Long term, I need to see a little more out of that, right?
Yeah. And who's that on, right? Is that on James or Steve or Mike Brown or whoever? I don't think it's on Wiseman. I think they are playing him in the right role, though. Tonight, I want to say he played like probably 15 minutes tops, not looking at box score, but you can 16, correct me. 16,
good guess.
16, nice. I think that's the right way to play him. Like, why play him like 20 plus, right? Like in the beginning of the season, they're playing him a fair amount of minutes, or at least exposing him to better players. Why do that? The kid's 19. Let him play 15 minutes ish a game, 16 minutes a game. Let him play against the second string players and let him get acclimated, because I think he has to understand how he needs to play basketball with the size and physical profile he does. That's most important. So, the Wiseman stuff, I think stock going up tonight though. Stock going up. So good for him. Good for him for coming back. Do we want to talk
Big Jim stock on the rise?
Big Jim stock. That could be like a coin. It could be a coin. I want to talk Oubre. That's who I want to go to next before we get to some callers. I know we got a bunch of guys that are waiting, but Oubre is man, he's fun. Like he is fun defensively and offensively right now. I'm just looking at his shooting numbers weren't so great because he missed a bunch of threes, but even when he was terrible in the beginning of the season, Sam, wasn't he like the most energetic player on the floor at all times? And that hasn't changed. Like that to me has been the most fun part of Kelly Oubre.
Just lucid, positionless energy. Yeah. Oubre is, he's exactly who I thought they were getting. And, you know, I like him as a player, honestly. Like, I feel like anyone who has negative things to say about Oubre either had the false expectations for who he could be or was hoping he could be something he wasn't going to be. You know, like if he thought he was going to replace Klay Thompson, God bless you, but you know, that wasn't happening. But if you look at him for what he is, which is a hyper energetic long wing who's athletic, who's willing to try on defense and who's a really good cutter and can finish inside, I think he's doing the job. Like tonight he had 8 rebounds, 2 assists.
The rebounds are what's great. Yeah, the rebounds are what's great. Yep.
And actually, the rebounds might be more valuable this team because as good as Wiggins' defense has been, he's not really hitting the glass aggressively every game. Wiseman is a young guy. The rebounding is not where it needs to be. And, you know, it might take him a year or two to get there. So they just need someone who is willing to finish a possession on defense.
Yeah, he's got some tenacity that you see from Clay, Draymond, Steph, kind of the older older generation. I was just going to say, I guess I said it, but it makes you feel a little, whew, like that dynasty is in the past, which I don't think so. They still have a chance to win a title, but he gives you that type of energy, right? As much as Andrew Wiggins has been good this season and he had a decent game tonight, very good defensively. I think his defense actually underrated just because he's like kind of like Klay on defense, where he may not put up like the huge stats, even though he's had some big block games, but he's smart. He's smart defensively. He plays to the scouting report. He stops the
other. And isn't that also like point of attack defense is always going to be the most exposed man. So it's not the most fun job. You're picking up a guy at the half circle. Uber is fun because they'll get like super low in the stance and like really make like a show out of it and everything. But it's like, you are going to be the guy who gets exposed if you make a mistake, or just quite frankly, the Knicks aren't that team, but like you go against like Damian Lillard, Dame will blow by you because he's that good. And you're going to be the guy who looks worse than like the second help defender who didn't make the rotation.
Right.
So I do think that's another thing with Oubre. Like people don't notice if Wiggins falls asleep off ball. People don't notice if Draymond Green doesn't make a rotation. And like neither of those guys are doing that a ton, but like, when you're on an island at the point of attack, you're the guy who everyone will notice if you get blown by.
Both of those guys are fun right now, Andrew Wiggins and Kelly Oubre. Look, if Andrew Wiggins had 10% of Kelly Oubre's kind of passion, he'd be a better basketball player. I wish Andrew Wiggins go to the rim more. But hey, that's the reason why these guys were traded, right? If they were those type of players, the Warriors wouldn't have gotten them. But I think the Warriors and Steve Kerr, and maybe here's a good part about this, Sam, is that I think they have maximized kind of those guys as players right now. There are times, maybe we can lead into this, the end of the game here. The problem is that these guys just aren't going to be good enough shooting. And then they're also playing Kevon Looney on top of that, right? So now you got to play Draymond. So now if you're playing Looney and these guys, then you've really got four guys that, on a given night, I could argue that all four guys can't shoot. So you put that around Steph, and that's the problem. And those guys are fun right now. I think Wiggins and Oubre are fun, but then you put those guys with Looney and Draymond, and tonight this is what you get. What is it like? What, negative 5 points in the fourth, something like that?
Yeah, the fourth wasn't great. I'll put it that way. I think did Steph have 6 free throws down the stretch? Is that right?
Insane. Maybe even more. Yeah,
they scored 20 points in the fourth. I'm trying to quantify what they scored before we got to like garbage time and fouling. So either way, there's also a level of kind of, it's who they are. You're not expecting Kelly Oubre to be much more than this. You're not expecting Andrew Wiggins to be more than this. Like, yep. You want to see what this looks like when Klay Thompson's here next year, but we're not going to see that till next year. The only thing I notice is Klay seems to be moving in his rehab better than expected. And that's a positive there. So I don't know where you're at, but should we open this to some calls?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
All right, let's get through it. Ooh, and by the way, anyone put in a speaker request. We're just going to go down the list.
Oh shit. Is this me?
Hey, what's up, man? Huey, how you doing?
Hey, I just have my main gripe for the game. I don't really care. I took the money line. I cashed my bet, so I'm good there. Is that Azubuki called Tracy Morgan Tracy Murray? What the fuck, dude? I think I'm going to give an Azubuki rating every game. And I think this game I'm going to give him a 4.2 out of 10. That's all I got.
4 point. Okay, can you
explain? Wow, that is fantastic.
Where the 0.2 comes from? Like, why is it not a straight 4? What could he have done to get to 5?
No, I'm not going to no further comment on that. It's not that hard if you think about it.
Huey high as hell right now talking about giving it a 4.2. What a legend.
I don't want to concentrate too much on the broadcast, but they're good for at least a quarterly cringe, if not two. I think if we get some league pass ratings, they're leading in cringe commentary. So, but shout out our guys, Fitz and Azubuki. Gotta love them.
All right, Huey.
We appreciate you. We're gonna keep moving. What a way to start.
The callers get better every time. See if we got some new ones today. There we go.
Isaiah, can you hear us? Isaiah, are you there?
Oh, okay. I like the freaking call like was messed up. Okay,
you're good. So,
overall, I think it was a great game. Obviously, we're gonna have so many close games this year because just look at our team. Steph, he shot 9 of 22. He shot 40.9% from the field. He shot obviously best 3-point shooter in the game, so he shot 50%. He played a good game. Draymond, I'm looking at him. He played a way better game than last game, 7, 9, and 12. All I'm asking out of Draymond is just score over 10, like just score 10 points. If he can get to the, like, 9 isn't bad, but if he can get at least 10 points, we're going to be better off in more clutch situations because we can get more pick and roll actions between him and Steph because we've seen that over the course of their career. It works, but, you know, I feel like with Kerr, you know, like what one of you guys said, he was jerking off because Looney and what's his name is back. Like, that was funny. Like, we have, but like, no, that was funny. But like, we have our bigs back. Like, that's all we can ask for is just health at this point. So as long as we have a full, all I'm asking for our team is just as long as we have a healthy squad and we have our pieces together, we've been doing a really good job without Klay Thompson. And I feel like that's just the overarching story of this season, how our season's going. And so our team's been playing fine. It's been – we should be higher than what we are, obviously, because I see it on Twitter all the time. But just the overall good game. Wiseman, I feel like Wiseman's showing more – obviously more signs. He's catching the ball a little bit more better because he at this point, if this might be a – I don't know if it's a hot take towards this, like, chat, but he catches the ball more than Looney, like. Looney, so
oh, absolutely. That's not a hot take. I agree with you there. Like everyone focuses on Wiseman's drops because he's so gifted, and like anytime he makes a mistake, you're like, how did he not catch that, right? But like, yeah, when you compare him to Looney, he's catching the ball and he's catching it at some weird spots too. Like Looney's not making that that catch in the first quarter that like Steph threw kind of like a little errant pass right, there that Wiseman exactly. finished. Yeah. So you are right. Like Wiseman in many ways is kind of a victim of just the highest expectations, right?
Yeah. Wiseman. Yeah. I feel like Wiseman people, you've seen the takes with,
right.
I don't want to name no names, but you know, Jason Maples on Twitter, he's been saying LaMelo, like the hot takes on Twitter. You know, I've been seeing y'all on Twitter. Like, it's so funny, especially with Urkel. Like, he's the funniest dude. He's the funniest dude, bro. No, I've been watching. I've just been peeping. It's just like, Wiseman, he's in a better situation than any other rookie right now because, like you said, he's going to get 10 points off 5 dunks, like, easily. That pick and roll action with Steph is going to be so dangerous. Like, and especially when we have Klay back because Klay – he's not the best passer, but Klay can hit you at the right spot when needed. When we get Klay back, Wiseman's gonna have more freedom just to put it up there. He doesn't have to just do the the extra stuff that he's needing right now. Because I feel like we're putting him in that JaVale role right now, and I feel like that's okay for him because he's 19. We're literally seeing a high school player play right now. If we really want to be honest, but we're seeing a high school player. Because he's the same age as me, which is funny. Like, it's crazy seeing him, like, body legit. He's running, like, we've seen signs. Like, he's running, like, he has the potential, man. And I'm looking at him more than any player right now because Wiggins, we call him two-way Wiggins on Twitter. And it's not an exaggeration. Like, he's going to be fine because I think he's been ours literally, like, at
times. I agree with you. He's 26. He turned 26 today, by the way. Shout out. Happy birthday,
Andrew. Right.
And you can see it with him, right? Like, he's really coming into his own. He's played excellent defense. Like, it's all coming together. I want to ask you, though, Isaiah, I got one question for you. Sky's the limit with Wiseman. What do you want to see from him before the end of the year? Not, like, in 3 years, but, like, realistically, when we get to the playoffs, what improvements do you want to see from Wiseman? Because, like, you know, he's 19. We're not expecting the world from him in year one.
Yeah, after this one, I'm going to head out to get somebody else a chance because I've been talking too long. But all I'm going to say is that Wiseman, he needs just to keep his hands up, to not be in foul trouble. If we can just get him to just keep his hands up And you know the refs are going to be trash all the time. Like, they're just – the refs aren't good. But at least just keep your hands up to not let them give a reason to give you a foul. It's just all I need from him. Everything outside of
– If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, J.J. Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, J.J. breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Scoring, like, he has it all. I feel like he has the agility. He, for his size, he's very quick and just the, because he can block shots. That's all we're asking for him. And then keeping your hands up is just another way of just allowing Draymond to not be tired in the clutch. So if we can get out, if we can get that out of him, we're going to be in better situations from, like, people like Jokic down the road and
bigger, I agree.
Yeah, so, but I'm going to leave right now. I'm going to just listen to everybody talking, but thanks.
Appreciate you, Isaiah. That was great.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to Roman.com/lightyears now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to getroman.com/lightyears. And complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to getroman.com/lightyears and get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Getroman.com/lightyears. Get started now to save $15 off your first month of treatment.
All right, we can keep moving. We got Duke Lee coming up next. Regular.
Yo, can you guys hear me?
Here we go.
We can hear you. What's up, man?
What's up, guys? Yeah, I just wanted to kind of gauge your guys' temperature on Oubre lately. I know I've been kind of, posting some stats about his, like, on-off numbers a lot on Twitter. And I just kind of, yeah, like, where do you guys stand right now as he's trending up, like, on his individual stats? But, you know, I counted on the schedule. Maybe it's, like, maybe 15 more games before the deadline. Like, and also, you know, just, like, his whole contract situation.
Wait, we don't even have a second half of the season schedule. Could be 30 games. Who knows, you know?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, yeah. I was just talking about till the deadline. Yeah, but, yeah.
Really,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, you're right. It could be, like, every day there's a game.
To Lonzo Ball. Could be Lonzo Ball in that. Who knows?
Yeah, you're right.
Is that someone you prefer rather than Kelly Oubre?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think Lonzo is kind of one of those fits where you could insert him into that second unit, which we, you know is struggling with Wanamaker, and but also, you know, maintain him a position in, like, the starters or the closers with Lonzo. Whereas Oubre, you know, we've been kind of using Wiggins instead with that second unit, so. I don't know. I think I'm just curious where you guys stand on the temperature for Oubre's status.
I think Kelly Oubre. Okay, so a couple of things. I think he is kind of who he is. I don't know if he's going to get, like, any better physically, or kind of, like, he may get better mentally, and I think we've seen him do that these last few weeks. Steve Kerr does really like him, as far as we all know, he does like him.
Yeah, for
because
sure, yeah.
he's long, he has the size. He has the things that Kerr likes. So I think he stays with this team. I know Sam has said a few times that he thinks that, you know, there are going to be a lot of trades that come. I think he's going to be on this team. I think he may most likely be on this team next season. The big issue here.
No, I was just going to say that someone like the local media, you know, was using the one-year rental phrase a lot, I feel like, in some of the other pods. And, like, I just wasn't sure if that was, like, kind of the plan with him, you know?
It may be. I think part of it is kind of like with the Andrew Wiggins stuff. It's still say that. I mean, like, with Andrew Wiggins, they're kind of like, they'll say, hey, this guy's part of the long-term stuff, but then they're also shopping him at the same time, right? So they're kind of doing the same thing with Kelly Oubre. But, like, you're not – I don't know how much they get out of him. I think the most important part here – is how do they use him? Like the last month or so, they really used him in a way kind of out of necessity. Like, hey, play him at the four. Right. You're kind of getting getting open shots, right? I'm sure the numbers prove that out. And it's kind of like it works out well. But now what's going to happen when he's got to play next to Wiseman? And that was kind of the issue before, is that you kind of got to pick one. Are you benching James Wiseman or are you benching Kelly Oubre? Because neither guy is good enough right now to play together. Maybe in 3 years you can play.
And just to be clear, a lot of that's about Draymond and Wiggins too. Like, right. It's not that's that, right. Like, it's not like they're not all functional good players. It's just like how many guys who shoot 33% from three can you have on the floor at the same time? So,
well, if Draymond was 33, shit, that's what I'll work.
Yeah. Well, Draymond's 30. You know, if you combined his last three seasons, it's
33%. Yeah. No, I'm just wondering, like, because do you guys feel like that they have to make it like or a call, like, is it like, are they highly focused on Oubre in the next, you know, month or so we have left till the deadline? Just because, you know, if they're not sure, kind of it's ambiguous by the summer. I mean, he could walk, right? I mean, he's an unrestricted free agent.
Sure.
And I'm just trying to think if like they're, you know, it's. I mean, like, do you think they have a back, back channel understanding, like with his agent, what's going on? You know, something like that.
Sam,
that's a great question. By the way, Duke, we're gonna move on to the next caller. So I'm gonna let you keep going.
For sure.
I think they've obviously engaged those conversations. Anyone, like, they're gonna deny it, but they've obviously engaged those conversations. I can see a scenario where Oubre is on the team next year as a sixth man. I just think it's in flux. Like, right now, the Warriors are not competing for a title, and it's kind of like, let's see how many players we can find for next year, and we want to compete for a title. Maybe Wiseman will be better in a year. Clay will come back and see where we're at. So I don't think it's as fluid as him being traded or kept next year. It's just kind of one of those we'll see. Let's keep this moving.
I think he's on the team next season. So
Okay.
It makes too much sense. The talent's there. They're going to lose him for nothing. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. And I don't think they can trade him and get fair value. So I think he'll be on the team.
Fair enough. We're moving on to Joey Lightyear's burner.
Oh, shit.
What's up, Joey Lightyear's burner?
Hey, how's it going? All right, so I have a question for you guys, and this is sort of related to the last question that was said. I want to talk about Eric Paschal. So this man, it's clear to me after watching him this season that he can't play with Draymond. He can't play with any of the centers. And it seems like it's really hard for the Warriors to maximize his talents with this roster right now because he still has that awful shooting form where he looks like Lonzo Ball. Trying to jump, you know, six
shooting on the way down.
At least Lonzo could shoot. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it looks bad, but you know, like there was all this offseason talk about how he was going to, you know, remake his shot, but it seems like circumstances are just making it so that he can't do that because they're trying to play him second ball center. Do you think they try to trade Eric Paschal? Because as it stands in this roster, it seems like his talents aren't being maximized.
By the way, Joey, we appreciate you. We're gonna take you off the stage. We're gonna keep moving on the next call. But like, I don't want to cut you off, Andy. My feeling is like they're gonna keep. They're not worried about fit as much as talent, in my opinion, right?
Yeah, I think like the problem with all these guys like Kelly Oubre, you're talking about trading him, and then you bring up Paschal, you bring up Poole, Smiley. If it, you know, worst comes to worst, but like Sam, it's like when they say if you've got too many quarterbacks on the team, like you don't got a quarterback. Like with these guys, it's like they got too many of these guys that just don't have any value. So I don't think, like, even if you want to trade them, what's Eric Paschal getting you in return? Like a second round pick? Right? Like he's more valuable to the, and it goes all the way to the top, like to Draymond. If you trade Draymond, what are you getting in return?
Like, no, that's, he's worth that is more an, to you. That is an excellent point. Like, everyone's like, oh, Draymond doesn't fit. Let's trade him for Bradley Beal. Like, well, you know, the Wizards aren't calling you and being like, all right, Bradley Beal for Eric Pascal. Let's get that done. You know, like that's not how it goes down. So, you know, I feel bad that I cut him kind of short there, but I think it's one of those things where the Warriors are trying to find talent. Eric Pascal clearly has talent, and we're aware that they can only carry so many guys who play the same position, but like they don't want to just trade someone for the sake of it. It's about waiting for that opportunity to make the trade you want to make, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Whether it's there or not. I enjoyed Pascal next to Looney tonight. I thought Pascal is someone, he's not very smart, right? And so you got to play him to someone who has some IQ, especially in a bench unit that doesn't have any. So I thought that was decent. Even if it's like not good for spacing, sometimes end of the day, it's like play him next to a smart guy. Maybe he'll be in the right position.
All right, keeping it moving. We got Chris coming up next. Chris, what's up, my man? Can you hear us?
Chris looks faded in his AV. Drank too much. Can't hear him.
We're going to have to keep moving. We got a long line. Chris, if you come back to us, we will bring you back on. Wesley.
Hey Wesley.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
You sound great. All right, what you got for us?
First of all, it's a pretty good game for the Warriors tonight. Great grinded out type of game. Steph kind of does his usual thing. But I kind of want to touch on what others have been touching on, really, is the others. What's the look for the second unit? Because, I mean, Wiggins looked kind of off in the fourth quarter, to say the least. He looked pretty good, like, in January, like, when he was, like, the main – like scoring option, but
right,
he's kind of fallen off in recent games. So like, and Wanamaker, I'm not sure what he has on curve, but like he kind of has to look like of a cagey vet, but he's not really that.
I hear you. Okay, so you're wondering about the second unit. I think this is a I'm gonna let Andy answer this one after me, but I think this is more of a talent issue, like. The second unit really needs someone who can create their own shot. They're asking Wiggins to do it. He's okay at it, but he's kind of better playing off with someone. Obviously, Wanamaker is not that dude. And, you know, maybe this falls on Bob Myers. Maybe it falls on Steve Kerr. Who knows? But it seems to me like how much could they have used Derrick Rose? How much could they have used a guy like that who you can just trust to create offense on their own? Because right now the second unit feels like it's just like kind of treading water until Steph Curry comes back in, right?
Right.
Yeah. There's a few times earlier this season where it kind of the bench was a strength of the team, even outplaying Steph and the starters at times. But what happens is they do a scouting report. It's that simple. It's like, hey, Eric Pascal's playing at the five. Here's what he does. Here's what you should defend it. And since then, it's been ineffective. And I think that's kind of what happens. It's like there's only so many gimmicks that's going to work. If you're a team that's
you're lacking cast side to side too much, so
yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, look, this little gimmick that you did to pick up this chick worked one time, probably won't work the next 10 times. You know, so that's really what Pascal at the five is. So like, Kerr's right. He's got to figure out how to play the four because he can't play the five long term. Simple as that.
All right, appreciate you, Wesley.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, Drew, we got Drew coming up next. Drew, what's going on?
Yeah. I kind of agreed with your point on how it's difficult to kind of make heads or tails of, you know, how Draymond's been contributing this year. Kind of the best comparison I could find, he's like a quarterback before the forward pass was invented, where he's just doing like handoffs and then option.
I love that. I'm sorry. Are you saying Draymond's a triple option quarterback?
Yeah. He's like the Tim Tebow of the Warriors. You know what I'm saying?
Jesus.
This might be the caller of the night.
But my serious take is I think Wiseman needs to play more minutes at the beginning of the second, the beginning of the fourth. That way he can kind of explore his game a little more, maybe do a little more in the triple threat. That's kind of where I like him. Obviously, the rim runs with Draymond are nice, but he kind of looks like a fish out of water sometimes with the starters. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I can't get over the Tim Tebow of the offense. I can't get over it. It's too good. It's some of the turnovers that he had tonight. Before we get to the Wiseman stuff, some of the turnovers is just Like, he did it in the 2019 NBA Finals, where he was actually extremely active, pretty good defensively. He was really good tonight. But how are you still making those turnovers when your only job on offense is to pass? Yeah. And you're making dumb turnovers at that. Like, I don't get it. But, you know, what can you do?
Absolutely. All right, we're going to keep moving. Appreciate you, Drew.
Before you get the next guy on, you can leave him on there, Sam. But CJ Arenas, I want to read this one out. Light Years Disciple in New York. Just saw the game live. Can confirm. Brad Wanamaker sucks just as much, if not more, in person. Hope you heard me up in the 200s. So, good stuff, CJ.
Keep moving. Jack Kennedy. Jack, can you hear us?
Yes. Thanks so much, guys, for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Yep. Yep,
absolutely. What you got for us?
So I actually have been thinking about this for a while now with a few of my friends, and I just wanted to get your take on this. So I'm quite okay with having Draymond on the starting lineup, which I know a lot of people were saying, trade him, trade him, trade him. But one thing I do want to say is, you know, I'm thinking about next year and, you know, trying to go in a win now mode, right? And I'm just thinking, you know, Steph, Clay, Wiggins, Draymond, and, you know, Wiseman. I just don't think that starting lineup has enough offensive firepower to compete with the Lakers, the Clippers, or the Nets, in my opinion. Wiggins, for all the good that he does, he does not overcome the lack of offense from Draymond, because every time Draymond's on the floor, it's 4 versus 5. So what I was going to ask you guys is, do you think that we need to either package our picks with Wiggins to upgrade that wing position, you know, for whatever that may be, and or Wiseman with the picks to upgrade that position? And some people I'm thinking are like Karl Anthony Towns or Pascal Siakam or Zach LaVine or Bradley Beal even. And, you know, if things really go awry, how about, you know, the Clippers, if they blow it up, Kawhi Leonard or Paul George, if Kawhi decides to leave, for example. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. I think overall, I'm just thinking we need to win now. It's Steph's prime. And, you know, That's the main thing. I just don't think we have enough offensive firepower. And one of those two positions, I think, needs to be upgraded, in my opinion, to really go on the road hitting. We don't need to rely on anyone else to have like an off game, for example, like Kyrie having an off game to win. If we get one more offensive firepower who's more aggressive than Wiggins, I think that's good enough. But yeah.
Yep. No, that's a good call out, Jack. I think is a fundamental issue with Steve Kerr. Sam, I do this with every question. I didn't make it all day about Steve Kerr. I think if it was up to Steve and the way that this organization feels about contending, they don't want to contend by having a team that's going to score 135 points a game. And that's what they believe is going to happen and not play defense. And that's what I think they believe is going to happen if they package some picks and trade them for, say, for example, Bradley Beal or Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine. I'm not saying that Steve Kerr would rather have Andrew Wiggins, you know, then Zach LaVine, but I could tell you that he loves that guys like Andrew Wiggins and Zach and Kelly Oubre play defense. And I think that matters more to him than someone that's averaging 25 points a game.
I do agree with you that they're not willing to sacrifice defense for offense. They believe that Steph's presence means they can have enough of an offense. I also agree with Jack. They need to, I don't know if the upgrade has to come from a blockbuster trade, but they do need a little more. I don't think Clay's return is going to be enough, mostly because it seems like a lot of pressure to put on a guy who's missed two seasons in a row. I keep harping on this, but like, I think Clay will be effective for the Warriors next year. I think expecting game six Clay is, it's just unfair to him, quite frankly. That's my biggest thing. It's unfair to him. And then we haven't even gotten into, you know, Draymond's offense has diminished. He's not the 2016 guy who averaged 15, 16 points a game. They do need to figure something else out. And in terms of what position they need to upgrade, I don't think it's as much like they need a small forward or they need a center. I just think they need to make a talent upgrade in some way on the roster and maybe opportunistic about it. And I think
Karl Anthony Towns, maybe.
I mean, that would be a massive talent upgrade. I don't think there's any way around that one. So, yeah, I mean, I think if I had to speculate, I think they are playing it close to the vest because they're aware other teams know they have the Wolves pick and Wiseman, and they don't want to be in a situation where they have to, like, trade 40 things to get someone. But, you know,
we'll see. I trade them all for Cat. So Jack, I'm with you there, but until Cat says he wants to leave, you're not going anywhere, right? Like same with you. As much as you guys want
thinking that way though,
The Warriors the office is thinking like that. They've already asked about every single. They've asked about every single player in there. like they know that. Like you don't think Joe Lacob is sitting there thinking like, all right, when's Karl-Anthony Towns going to ask out? Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Every single one of these guys, right? Like Luka Doncic, even. Mm-hmm. But it's not like even Bradley Beal. I would say it's not realistic because has Bradley Beal said that he wants to get traded? Like as far as anyone is concerned, he wants to be there. And so why is his name out there? And like Sam and I do it all the time because it's fun to talk about. But until these guys actually want to leave, then there's no reason for these guys to actually go anywhere. I think the problem here is. Another problem is, which is what Sam is, I think, was getting at, is why is Brad Wanamaker on this team? Why was he even on the team to begin with? And that's because he's a good player for the system, okay? And that's the problem. If you're looking to find players, especially vet players, to be good for the system, that's your problem. Just get talented guys, man. That's all I'm asking for.
You can go for system fits when you have Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, all in that.
Absolutely. Problem.
But right now, they need to be more acquiring talent. Jack, we appreciate you. That was a great question. We're going to keep moving.
Thanks.
Yep.
We're getting to Will. All right.
There we go.
What's up, fellas? How we doing?
Will looks like
how he sells, you doing?
Yeah, Will is in tech. He sells or financial services for sure.
My gosh, bro. Yo, man. Despite that burn right there, I've gotten to a point where watching Wanamaker is a literal train wreck every single night. It's making my eyes bleed. I cannot do this anymore. It's gotten to the point where I'm literally like, I have to like either walk out of the room when he's playing or, you know, just turn away from the game. But the thought that I had is where does he rank all time on your least like Warriors? I was thinking of like, on the Mount Rushmore.
He's not even in my top 10. He's not even in my top 10, honestly.
Really, dude? I mean, 32 games, but I mean, geez, man. It is so hard to fucking...
Let me ask you this. Are we going with the Steph Curry era, or are we going all time?
Because, well, we're going back. I mean, I was trying to make a list in my mind. Mike Dunleavy was very high up there.
Mike Dunleavy is number... Mike Dunleavy is number one for me.
Yeah, Mike Dunleavy has got to be in that discussion, dude. It's, man, just the way he got drafted to the production he gave us. Derek Fisher's contract he signed in the mid-2000s, that was brutal.
The entire 2005 team, to be honest, other than Jason Richardson.
Like, yeah,
Jay Rich is slander-proof among Warrior fans, but, like, Troy Murphy... Dunleavy.
Give me the Mount Rushmore. Like what
Michael Petras is there
of like the last two decades. Like what is the top four least liked Warriors in your guys' opinions?
Dunleavy is number one because he took a shot at the fans. Like, hey, I'll remember it correctly when he goes like they're not very smart fans. And he wasn't producing at the time. It was just the perfect recipe to be booed by your home fans every game of all time.
Guys, a scrub, bro. A scrub.
front office executive, hold up. We got to throw Biedrins in there because he signs a contract.
Biedrins was like the worst. The worst. Unbelievable.
Andy, who you got? Who else are we throwing in there? I got to think about this one for a minute.
I was going to say not so much. So two guys in my head, not because I like didn't like them, but just really despised the way that they played, was number one, Michael Petras. Just every time I watched him, I was just so frustrated.
Good. Like, he got torched a lot.
Good to step out of bounds at least once again.
You know, just awful. I mean, you could throw Richard Jefferson up there just because after his Warriors career, he's become an absolute joke. But like Michael Petras is there, R. Jeff. And then like, I didn't enjoy watching Calvert Chaney, yes, but I didn't enjoy watching Steven Jackson that much. Like, I get he was fun.
That's a hot take right there.
Frustrating. Yeah, Sam, frustrating.
Damn, man. Well, yo, thanks for having me on, guys. Frustrating win tonight, speaking of that. That fourth quarter was unreal. But, dude, yeah, Wanamaker. He's in my top four, I got to be honest. It's been unbelievable. He's brutal.
I mean, he's not in my top four favorite Warrior role players. I'll tell you that much. So.
He's about as far from that as possible.
No, I'm going to throw one name out there that we didn't get to: Eric Dampier.
Oh. Dampier?
Yeah. Donald Foyle, is he falling on that line?
Donald's too likable as a human.
He's likable.
I can't, like, I agree with, as a player, he left a little to be wanted. But Dampier was, I don't know, just Dampier is more talented, is basically what it comes down to.
Who's like, got worse hands, Sam?
I never thought Donald was, I blame the Warriors for thinking Donald was better than he was. I blame Dampier for not playing better than he was. All right, Will, we appreciate you.
Have a good one.
Thanks, Will. Dampier or James Wiseman, who's got better hands?
Oh, come on now. All right, we got Ryan up here. Ryan, can you hear us?
What's up, guys? I just want to pull out the receipts on you guys. Before the season on the podcast, you guys said Brad Wanamaker would be a fan favorite. That has
backfired. Well, I had Wanamaker shooting 40% from three, not 20%. So I'll wear that one. I agree with you.
Bring the audio, please, next time so that we can post it on Twitter.
I got you guys. I'll try to find it.
You're not wrong. I thought Wanamaker would be better than he was. To be honest, I'm not even on the list of people who hates Wanamaker. I'm on because I have to lean into my own takes a little bit. But we're looking at it right now. Okay, just so we're clear. Wanamaker last year shot 45% from the field, 36% from three. He's currently shooting 35% from the field, 23% from three. You know, I didn't think Wanamaker was going to come in here and be Lou Williams, but I was expecting a little more than what we're getting. So
that's cool.
I blame Steve Kerr. Yep, I blame Steve Kerr. You got another take for us, Ryan?
Yeah, I just got a question for you guys. How confident, if like we get in a playoff series, how confident do you think the Warriors can beat a box in one? Because I think that's the main problem with the Warriors. We can't beat a box in one.
That's a great question.
Who's playing the box in one is probably a better, you know what I mean? Like, I think who's they may be it? Able to get away with it. Yeah. Like if it's a playing game against Portland, or maybe they win a playing game and somehow Portland's a 30 seed or let's say a 4 seed and they're a 5 seed, then, you know, yeah, they could probably beat a Portland box in one, but like a Utah box in one, Utah's defense is pretty good. I don't know if they can beat a Utah box in one. So it's all contingent.
Okay. Going to have a lot of Michael Mulder in there and a lot of Damian Lee to beat the box in one, to be honest with you. So that'll be interesting because their starting five's not beating a box in one. Ryan, we appreciate you. Keep it moving. Oh, we got our guy Luke here. It's Justinian Jessup time.
Yes, Luke, sir. What's up, my man?
How you going, boys? You good?
Yeah, we good. How you doing?
Yeah, good, man. It's about Wednesday. It's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon here. Just watch the game. Quickly, before I go on my rant, why the fuck do we always play better in the second half than we do the first? Why is Wiseman getting post-ups and acting like fucking Akeem? Then all of a sudden, the third quarter, you put him in the dunker spot, and he looks amazing. Like, surely that comes down to coaching. Surely someone's telling him to do that. Like, what's the deal?
That's called a halftime adjustment, my friend.
Yeah, but it's happening every fucking game.
I don't know what to tell you. Sometimes you gotta give a little credit to Tom Thibodeau, a little bit there. I don't know.
Okay. All right, I'll take your word for it, boys. You guys are the experts. But I just want to quickly ask that while watching the game. Back to what we were talking about last week. How safe do you guys reckon, based off that Kawakami pod? Do you think Pat? I saw someone earlier just said it as well. That Pascal, I think he might be in a bit of Barney Rubble with his team. Don't you guys reckon?
I love the reference. He's in an odd spot. I'll let Andy go on this, but I feel like he's clearly an NBA player, and when we look at the roster, they don't have a lot of them, so that's not great. But he's kind of in a weird spot where his best position happens to be Draymond's best position, Wiseman's best position, and there's only so many minutes to go around in that spot. So it's kind of like, let's rotate players. And, you know, do I think Pascal will be on the Warriors in 3 years? Probably not. But But
yeah, you beat me to it. Yep, yep, yep.
But I think it's one of those things where it's like, he, you know, trade him when his value's low is just doing a disservice to the team, right?
Yeah.
So a couple things on the shooting stuff is just a problem for this team right now, in that you got to be able to develop guys to be able to shoot. Like, you drafted Jordan Poole to shoot the ball. Like, he's all right. Like, he may actually become a shooter. He's been good in the G League. Eric Paschal, you should be able to develop him into a 32% three-point shooter. Like, we're not asking for much here. And then James Wiseman, we'll see what happens there. So, like, there should be some type of developmental trajectory for these guys. And we haven't seen any of that yet for Eric Paschal. He's kind of pretty much the same player as he was last season, which is fine in like, kind of a gimmick small ball role. But, I mean, I don't know, Sam. Like, you think he might not be the team in a couple of years. Like, if you don't get a shot, you might not be in the NBA. So, I don't – like, that stuff is a problem, and the Warriors need to figure that out. With the – Luke, with your first question on the rotations and what – I think Steve is always going to do what Steve wants to do, what his kind of ideology is in the first half. Like, you don't think Steve knows that if he just runs pick and roll that Wiseman's going to average, like, 18 points?
Yeah, that's wrong, 100%.
I think with him, it's like look, he kept Kelly Oubre in the starting lineup. He ran the same system, and Kelly Oubre actually picked up learning how to back cut, which is not really like a hard thing to do, but for Kelly Oubre, apparently it was. So, you know, there's some success there, right? And I think that he's kind of doing the same thing for someone like James Wiseman, who's, you know, only 19, and he's kind of like, here, let me teach you how basketball works, because Steve Kerr thinks he's a fucking genius.
You
but
know, you know
I think that's
need,
part of it.
Andy, you know what we need? We need Sam to get his legs going, to tell someone, to tell James Wiseman, to stand on the fucking 3-point line more than like once a game. Like, he's not, he didn't shoot 1-3 today, and his three throws look great. Why is he not? Why are they not running sets where he's sitting on putting a high screen up top and just waiting on the 3-point? You know, both defenders are going with Steph. Let the guy shoot. You know what I mean? Like, let him shoot.
I agree with you.
Sorry. I know I'm taking up time. I'm loving there's 100 people in here, but. Can I just say as well, I know you guys monitor Twitter and all that, we're going to have to get to a point where this bullshit with the disrespect on Steph needs to stop. I know Doc said it tonight on Twitter. Oh, Steph doesn't have to play, Mag. Well, he didn't play, Mag, tonight, did he? He only threw like two fucking dimes in the crunch time to set up the game, did he? Like, these guys like Haynes, Jefferson, all these fuckwits like Butcher and that, seriously, it needs to stop. Like, guys like Tommy and Rue and you guys and Urkel, we've got to push back on it, man. It's just like, you can't. Why does this guy get so disrespected all the time? It's just, it blows
it's
my mind.
Because, first off, I've made my services available to Unanimous Media. I've said, if the check is large enough, I will start putting more propaganda on the timeline if needed. So just letting Steph know. Six figures.
How can you go on a Bill Simmons podcast and say with a straight face that Steph doesn't have the playmaking roles that Dame does? Are you get paid to talk basketball?
Like, what are we doing here? Agendas are wild. I'm not sure anyone else has to run three laps around the half court to get open. So because they play with four guys who don't shoot the ball. I agree with you, Luke. We're gonna keep it moving. We're gonna have this discussion maybe tomorrow night even.
It's like a therapy session in here. Look, it's let it out, you know, just let it out. Give him the Goodwill Hunting, Sam. Give him the not your fault hug.
It's not your fault, guys. It's not your fault. Ricky Garcia, what you got for us, my man?
Regular.
Ricky, can you hear us?
Hold on, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Tell us what's going on.
Oh, great. I guess this is more like, you know, potential acquisitions, whether it's like the waiver wire or the trade market. You know, I don't think you got to this on like the premium pod, but like, you know, who would you see as potential waiver pickups for the Warriors?
Ooh. That's a great question. Honestly, I don't know that they're going to go into that. Like, I'm more curious about their trades, because right now I don't think that they want to waive players. They need to determine what they're doing with – they need to determine if Jordan Poole is going to be on this team, if Michael Mulder is going to be on this team, if Alan Smilagic is going to be on this team, because they don't have roster spots for new guys. So it starts there, and then we can move from there, right?
They won't even give Juan Toscano-Anderson a full roster spot on this team. because they're unwilling to move off of, you know, Alan Smilekic, like my guy Alan. So I don't know if, and also some of the times you're looking to get players because they can help you over, like the Warriors are going to get guys off waivers because those guys want to play for them to win a championship, right? Like, this is the reason why Avery Bradley didn't play with this team, or Aaron Baines didn't want to play with this team, or Marc Gasol. So I don't think you're going to get those guys. I'm like Sam. I'm curious to see what they do with Kelly Oubre. I'm curious to see if they use the disabled player exception. Who knows? As of right now, I don't think they would. But who knows? Maybe what's a trade deadline? Like 8 games away? Like, we'll see. So
absolutely. I agree with you. I think we should I really think it starts with the roster. Right now they're carrying just a bunch of players and we don't know where they're going to go with it. So until we see what they do with the guys they have on the roster, we can't speculate about what they're going to pursue beyond that, right? Yeah. All right, Ricky, we appreciate you. Andy, I think we should call it a day. We will be back tomorrow night after the Pacers game. Hopefully another Dubs win. We appreciate everyone who stopped in the room. If we didn't get your question tonight, we apologize. I'm taking note of everyone who's in the queue. You will be at the top of the queue tomorrow if you come in. Appreciate you all, guys.
Cheers, guys.